So, hello everyone. My name is Ali Alberigo, and I'm one of the senior consultants at Member Solutions, and I'm also the owner of Taking It to the Next Level, which is a web-based consulting business education. Anyway, today we have a seminar, which of course is titled Micromanage Yourself to Becoming a Millionaire or a Multimillionaire. And basically, I wanted to start off by saying here we are again, you know, month after month we do these teleseminars. Many times people listen to them live, and if you're listening to them live, thank you for taking the time out to be with me in the moment right now. And for those of you who are listening on a later date, whether it's downloaded into your car or listening to it on your computer at midnight, I also applaud you for being in the moment at that time and working on improving yourself by listening to our teleseminars. I have always been a big advocate for going to seminars and improving my education. And as most of you know, I'm a big fan of the self-help, self-improvement, and educational, you know, genre. And contrary to probably what my high school teachers may have thought or said, they probably would have voted me least likely to succeed or the one least likely to make it through high school. And although recently, it was interesting, I met one of my older teachers, and he had said to me that he thought, and I kind of said to him, you know, I probably thought that I wasn't going to graduate, but he said that he thought that there was something special about me that he recognized. I don't know if he was just pulling my leg, but he said that I was a really out-of-the-box thinker, and then he chuckled a little, and I laughed, and I was saying, you know, well, this is because I didn't find anything in high school remotely interesting except for the girls, you know. He and I laughed for a little while, and we also talked about, you know, the things that I always wanted to do, I was focused for, you know. So whatever I saw in my life that I thought I had interest in and that I wanted to be involved with, I went in 100%, you know. And that's all, for example, when I was younger, all I cared about was I was in a rock and roll band and my martial arts and of course, girls. You know, those were my three focuses. And I think it's real important for us to realize what our focus is being spent on. You see, for me, at a very young age, I knew what I wanted. I clearly wanted to become famous, whether it be in the music business or, you know, I clearly loved performing the martial arts and teaching. In fact, I started teaching at the age of 15 years old. And even though that time I wanted to either, one, be a rock star or, two, be a martial artist, that was clear to me. But it wasn't cemented in my life goals. You know, I didn't know what one thing was that I wanted, except I did know that I wanted to be successful. I knew that I wanted to have all the things in life that I never had growing up. I wanted fancy cars, a big house, and all the fun that goes along with it. But not until 19 years of age did I realize that I wanted to become a millionaire. And that was the topic of our teleseminar today. And there are different types of strategies to becoming a millionaire, and being just a millionaire in this day and age is really not like it was 25 years ago either. But anyway, I started attending wealth seminars at the age of 19, trade seminars, real estate seminars, and I started setting my focus and my goals and my life actions, and I started putting them in place. And it seems that 21 years ago was so long for me, you know, it's almost 23 or 24 years ago that I started doing this, but I think that, you know, that first topic or thought or goal was about where I wanted to be, and I painted a really clear picture of that vision. And at the age of 21, I bought my first house, and the rest is kind of history. You know, of course, the title of Micromanage Yourself to Wealth, it should have been. It shouldn't have been to a multimillionaire, because sometimes that number is a little bit of a stumbling block for us. So I should have titled it Micromanage Yourself to Wealth. Sometimes the word micromanage or managing or to be micromanaged is looked at as an obsessive behavior or a behavior that's not going to get you the results that you're looking for, because you're paying so much attention to detail that you're not able to actually look far enough out into the future to get the big picture. As most of you know, I'm a big advocate for maximization. And in fact, if you haven't heard or read my article or teleseminar on the topic, you should absolutely go back into the Member Solutions archives. And the article's quite eye-opening. I first heard the term maximization while listening to an audio seminar by Jay Abraham. If you guys haven't read or heard any of his material, I highly recommend it. In fact, his website is www.abraham.com. That's A-B-R-A-H-A-M.com. And he is one of the leading business consultants in the world on sales and maximization. Maximization, the word itself, is really kind of micromanaging, in my opinion, or it's synonymous with what I would consider to be successful business entrepreneurship. Before we get started on techniques, I want to first tell you my story. You know, I started running a small landscape business at 15 years old. You know, typically I did pruning, trimming, and basic lawn cutting, and then I got involved with my martial art teacher, and one of them, and I started a string of different businesses that included tile setting, landscaping, painting, carpet cleaning, etc. They all ended in the name tech, so it was turf tech and tile tech and, paint tech and carpet tech. But anyway, we built our businesses up from scratch, and within 1 year, all of those businesses were making money with a very minimal investment. And I personally myself specialized in the landscape business, and my portion of the business was the most profitable because I worked day and night. At that time, I was working about, I'd say, easily 80 to 90 hours per week. Anyway, we invested most of our profits from the business into real estate, and we bought and renovated our first house. And this house was a beautiful house on the water in Oakdale, New York. The sad reality is my heart was filled with so much trust for my teacher at the time that later on I was cheated out of everything, the real estate, the business, et cetera, and he ended up moving into the house and living there while he sold his other home. And it was a great lesson for me, though. I don't hold that against him. I actually thank him for it because without him and those chain events, I wouldn't have been where I am today. And I took the lesson and I went out on my own, opening up my own landscape business. And within 10 years, I built that business from, you know, zero employees to five crews with 36 employees. And it was making well over $1 million per year. And at the time, I started teaching martial arts again. And I had this strange notion of opening up my own school. And it started at a 600-square-foot school, and the rest is history. You know, now I had, at that time, I sold my landscape business. I decided to teach martial arts full-time. Since then, I've had 11 schools all over the world. I've taught internationally. I still currently have a school in Bermuda that I go to 3 to 4 times a year. And I'm working in the martial art industry doing consulting, and I've spoke at the Martial Arts Super Show and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I basically, you know, giving you this history just to show you that everything is possible if you think big. But most importantly, though, you have to think with direction. And I'm going to give you five tips, what I consider the tips towards wealth. There's so many of them, but this is just five basic tips. Then, of course, like I always do, I'm going to break them down and explain them in a little bit more detail. And hopefully you'll get something out of it. And then please, at any time, ask me any questions on anything in any way, shape, or form. So the first one of the five tips I'm going to say is knowing your target goal. And please write this down. If you're not, you're cheating yourself. So if you're driving in a car and listening on a phone, of course, don't drive and write. But pull over and write this down. Or if you're listening to this at a later date, absolutely take the time to pause the tape and write down each step. So number one is knowing your target goal. Number two is having a good grasp and knowing your expenses. And I don't mean the basics, but every minor detail, because sometimes expenses creep up on you. And I'll go into this in a bit more detail. When you think you have one set of expenses, and really when you look at it, you have a lot more. Number three, know your financial freedom goals. And I wrote in quotes, to live the American dream. So knowing your financial freedom goals. And four, knowing what's important to you. This is so essential to be able to determine what is important to you. So four, knowing what's important to you. Number five, knowing your threshold, the peak or the point where you won't go beyond or what you could work up to. And also knowing what you truly want, you know, knowing that threshold and how far you'll go to get what you truly want. So number one, knowing your target goal is simple, and it ties directly basically into number two as well, knowing your expenses. But for me, for many martial arts school instructors, they don't truly know what they need to make in order to be a success. For example, setting goals are imperative to success, but setting goals without having a bottom or a bottom line or an end result are often like shooting a gun into the sky and hoping that it's going to fall down and hit the target on the way down. When I consult with school owners, quite often they ask me this question, or they come to me and say, how can they get more students? Typical question, how can they market? How can they grow their school? And they often operate from what I believe to be kind of an antiquated mentality that's still rampant within our business. I mean, people think more students equals more money. And to some extent, it's true, obviously, but there are so many other factors involved with running a martial arts school in the equation. I'm going to give you a quick few examples. Some of you might be rolling your eyes or, you know, saying this is all basic, old hat kind of stuff. But think of this, and then even if you're a successful school owner with 300-400 students, or you're a successful school owner making $30,000-$40,000 a year, you could still micromanage your school to make more profit and have a more profitable school in the long run. Anyway, think of it this way. For one scenario, if you had a school with 100 students and you charge $100 a month, that's $10,000 per month. If your overhead is $10,000, then of course you're operating at a loss. So because you haven't made any money, because you're breaking even, you're actually operating at a loss because all your time is wasted. So now, scenario number two, let's say you have 100 students and you charge $100, making $10,000. Of course, your overhead is $3,000 or $4,000 because you're keeping your overhead low. Your school is going to be highly profitable. Depending on where you want to be in your life, which is, you know, knowing your target goal number one, you can make a living and live, and I'm holding up my quote fingers, you know, live the lifestyle of a millionaire, and not necessarily have to be a millionaire with the millionaire money in the bank, but still live super comfortably, happy, healthy, and having everything that you've ever dreamed of. Now, some people take that martial art calculator, they say 100 students times $100, that's $10,000 per month, and their calculator tells them that if they want to make $20,000, they have to have 200 students. So now here's scenario number two. If now you take those 100 students, let's say, or when you're building your school, and instead of it being $100, you charge $150, obviously you're going to make $15,000 a month. And some may be saying, duh, you know, this is not anything new. This is just simple mathematics. But these are some questions that I want to ask you as school owners. Are you operating for the sake of being one of the big boys, you know, in a big school with a high overhead, or, you know, they used to say big hat, no cattle, you know, in the old West, right? Or what's your goal? Are you looking to make a profit? Obviously you are, but what is that profit? You know, quite often with big schools come big responsibilities, big employee turnover, more parents to deal with, more headaches, more maintenance, higher insurance, more wear and tear. Sometimes with those smaller schools, of course, there's a lot less of that, obviously, right? Some may say with a bigger school, you have more opportunity to grow and have more, availability to make extra income, but sometimes that's not always true. So with a smaller school, you could probably make equally as much money. And this to some extent is true in either direction, but it all depends on what hat you want to wear, or should I say what your philosophy is. So now's the time to do what I teach my next level clients to do in what is called a Mabaroshi. In Japanese, that means a vision statement or a goal setting session for the future. My first question is, knowing your target goal, remember, you can always up the ante later, but for now, you should write down right now on a piece of paper, what would your, jot it down now, but of course I'd have to say that you have to go back in and reevaluate because you need to know exact numbers. But what is the magic number for you? You know, is it $5,000 a month profit? Is it $10,000 a month profit? You know, what is it that would make your life the life that you want, so that you could have that house, you could put your kids through college, you could have that built-in swimming pool, you could drive the car that you like? What is that number? So now, of course, let's just say that you have expenses of $5,000 per month, $5,000 per month, and your gross is $15,000. Some may look at this and say, wow, that's 150 students at $100. Me, in particular, even though that this is true math, 150 times, you know, $100, I think in my lifestyle now, at the age of 44 years old, I'd rather see $140 a month, you know, at a lesser student count. For some people listening, you may say, you know, that $140 a month is impossible in your area, and that's not something that you could charge because you come from whatever community or whatever township. But I say that no matter what, in every area, you're going to find that the community, there's going to be very wealthy people. There are going to be millionaires that are tucked away within your center, in your general radius. And, heck, some people might not be millionaires, but they still probably can afford or will find a way to afford $140 if they feel the value is there. So granted, there might not be as many of the people to pull from, but they're certainly out there. So you just have to work harder to find them. But look at it as a cleansing process, too, because in scenario two, $140 multiplied by 110 students, this is $15,400 versus maintaining 150 students at $100. So when you look at it, And when you look at it like this, yes, it's much harder to get that $140 than it is to get, you know, $140 a month than it is to get $100, but it's a heck of a lot easier to operate and manage a school and give the quality of service that you want to those 100 students versus those 150. Now, some of us may want big hats, and we may want all, you know, everything, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I think that when we micromanage, we can always set things in action and work slowly towards larger end result growth than initially trying to give out specials like crazy and getting tons of people through the door, and because you're dealing with the stress and the people and the parents and the issues and so on, you end up never really being able to step out of that box and look into your school and say, what can I do to, you know, keep on growing the way I am, because you're so caught up in the day-to-day. Anyway, here's another scenario. We'll call it scenario three. What if now you're starting to think a bit more out of the box and you figure in items like retail, which most school owners neglect. Drink sales, most school owners neglect. Special events, they neglect that as well. You know, one sale, just picture this, or averaging out $10 extra per month per client gives you $120 a year profit more, which is like 1 month of tuition almost. So getting a client to spend $120 per year, whether it be in gear, drink sales, special events, profits you that $120 per year. Now you times that by X amount of students. Now you have, you know, that much more money in the long run. So sometimes what I'm trying to get clear in your head is sometimes we get caught up in the how many students do you have. I'm going to be in Vegas with Kathy and all the people from Member Solutions, and most of the time people come up and they start talking about how many students they have. And my main question is, well, how much are you grossing? How much are you retaining? And I don't really care if you have 500 students, because I've seen schools that have 500 students and they're charging $30, $40 a month. Now, to me, I'd much rather maintain, you know, a quarter of that and make just as much with less stress and headaches. So now you're looking at, if you added on that $120 in gear sales or overall sales, that's like $12,000 per year to your bottom line. So I ask all the listeners out there right now, and I want you to really think closely about this, do you really want to make a really good living and have a really nice, when I say a good living, I don't mean just financially. I mean like a living where you're not always killing yourself all day long working. I have some next level clients that actually have, they have 150 students and they charge $150 per month, grossing about $34,000 to $35,000 per month. And this is the kicker though. It's only 150 people that they have to maintain. And they don't really care if they get more, you know, they just don't want to drop down less, because that number is great, 30, 32,000 with retail and all that, 34,000 or so on. But just on straight tuition, they're making about $30,000 per month, $360,000 a year, and they teach 14 hours a week. Now, to me, I work 14 hours in a day, you know, most of the time still, and I've been running my martial arts school for 18 years, and I'm still doing 10, 12, or 14-hour days. So now think about this. 14 hours a week, total of teaching time, maybe another 5 or 6 hours of management, so 20 hours a week, and they're doing about $34,000 a month. I mean, to me, that's beautiful, because they're living the dream. They're living the American dream. They're working what I would consider to be a below part-time schedule, because part-time hours in the workforce is 30 hours. Full-time is 40 and above. Anything below 30 hours is not even considered part-time. So now think about that scenario of where you're at. Where do you want to be? What's your Mabaroshi, that vision quest? You know, what kind of school do you want to run? Are you in the business to help train people, and teach them true, pure martial arts, and at the same time live a really good lifestyle where you could go home and be with your family and enjoy your life, and make a great living, which I believe all martial artists deserve? So here, now, you could see once you know your target goal that there are many ways to get to it. For example, when I do my elite coaching, I ask school owners what they want to make. You know, what is that magic number? And then I also say, of course, the magic number is not the lifestyle of the rich and famous number, but a healthy, comfortable, and happy money dollar number that you want to make at the end of the month. And now, of course, some of the people, sky's the limit. They set out an outrageous number. And although I believe this to be a good dream goal, because everything is attainable in this world, you know, everywhere on the planet, you could be as wealthy as you want if you're smart about it. And of course, I want everyone to shoot for the stars. But what I'm saying right now is, where do you want to be? What is that magic number? You should jot that down. You should be, write that number down. And like Brian Tracy says, when people put it on paper, normally they achieve it. And they find out that if they would have put a larger number on paper, they would have achieved that too. So, of course, shoot for the stars, but be realistic. I don't want you to be like the, you know, the next contestant on American Idol who's up there and absolutely can't sing to save their lives. They sound worse than a howling wild dog, but yet they really are shocked when they are told that they can't sing. So my goal is for you to get a realistic number there, something that you think that you could pick, and then we have to set a plan and action to get to it. The first goal is a number. The second is knowing your expenses. So we're going to move on to number two, knowing your expenses. If I had a dollar for every school owner operating with under 100 students and having an overhead of, let's say, a 400-student school, I'd be a rich man right now. So why bother having a school that can house 400 members before you have the 400 members? So if I were you, I would make sure that whatever you have now, before you think of a second location or you think of expanding into a gym situation, is focus, focus, focus on what you have. Right now, I personally am in the process of simplifying my life, and I have 4 schools on Long Island. I just have condensed 1 school down, and I own the building that the school was in, but I decided to just close the doors on that school but transfer the student body to the other school. And what happened was I transferred about 90% of my students to my other school, cutting back on 2 paychecks for 2 employees, all the expenses that it cost to run the school, and I'm now renting the building because I own it, making more profit there. So I didn't lose. By having that location, I actually was shooting myself a little in the foot. So I asked you, why bother having a school that can house 400 members if you don't have 400 members? So I would start off on whatever location you have and build it to the maximum. Most of us run our school hours from, let's say, 3 in the afternoon till about 8 or 9 at night. All day long, we might throw in a class here and there. And in my schools, I micromanage all my time, but in my headquarters school, we have a day class that we have about 50 or maybe 55 members that train solely during the day. And that's a time that years ago I would have never even thought that people would do. And now I have, I'm bringing in, close to $100,000 in income just from my day class. Now get this, this is the kicker. That day class with those 50 or so some odd members is only 1 hour, Monday through Friday, 1 hour from 10 to 11 o'clock. That's it. So if I wanted to close all my schools down tomorrow and just teach 1 hour a week and teach those day class people, I could do that and still make a huge living. So now, if I'm thinking about this now and saying, like, at one point when I opened my second location, I ran 250 students out of for about 5 years out of a location that was only 1,300 square foot. Now, talk about profit. If I knew then what I know now, I probably could have had 300 to 400 members out of that same school because I didn't even think about scheduling and, different days for different ranks. And at the time, I was just packing them in, and I taught 4 classes a night, and there was 30, 40 kids in each class. But I should have just expanded my schedule. And anyway, that's a whole nother seminar altogether. So the simple math is start out with a small overhead, obviously, and then find out exactly what your expenses are. You may also need to really take a good look at your bookkeeper or your accountant or sit down with them. But one of the biggest mistakes is not knowing all the hidden costs. And I hate myself when my accountant comes in and says, here's your new taxes that are due. And I frown and I take a deep breath thinking I was having a really good month and I would have had some money to put in the bank. And poof, like a Chris Angel magic trick, it's all gone. But knowing your exact full expense sheet is imperative. I mean, all the hidden costs. Now, I'm a big, advocate for knowing your exact down to the penny cost. And of course, some things are always going to come up. But my advice is every 2 months, at least 2 months, review your expenses and seek opportunities to save or cut those expenses. Can you sub out maybe your graphic arts, or can you hire a printer out of state that's cheaper? Is your bank hitting you with too many excessive fees? Are you paying too much to your accountant or your lawyer? Or can you negotiate a better deal with your existing lease that you have on your building? And don't forget, now's the time when the economy is tough that you could get better deals on your rent, and there's no harm, no foul going back and asking your landlord if he could lower your rent. In fact, in one of my locations, I just called him up and I said, I'd like to lower my rent by $500 a month, and I took a deep breath waiting for him to argue, and he said, okay. That was it. Okay. And he lowered, so I saved myself $7,000 a year just by asking. Is that insane or what? So know down to the penny what your overhead is, so that you know down to the penny what your profit is going to be, and then you could start setting your plans of action in place. Now, the next one is knowing your financial freedom goals. You know, what is your dream goal? What's the dream money that you'd like to be making? Again, not necessarily the lifestyles of the rich and famous, as I said before, but let's say that your goal right now is 10K, and that's the magic profit number. How would $20,000 shape your life if you're making 20K profit a month? So now instead of making, you know, $120,000 a year, you're making $240,000 a year. And now the biggest problem is big hat, no cattle, like a lot of people live the lifestyle of where they grow their income, they grow their expenses, thinking that the bottom's never going to fall out. And there's a really good book that I recommend to everyone if you haven't read it already. I read it years ago, and it was called The Millionaire Next Door. It was a phenomenal book in some regards, kind of dry in the read, a little slow in my opinion, but in others, you know, there are some areas that I didn't love about it. But really what the thought process was that, you know, most people who are millionaires next door that you'd never know are frugal. You know, they're not buying, you know, Movado watches or, you know, the expensive cars. You know, they're driving around in, you know, minivans and things like that. They talked in this book about one UPS driver that when he lived a very moderate to poor lifestyle, his kids never really knew what they had. And when his dad passed away, he willed the kids $26 million or something like that. And they lived almost like moderately poor people their entire lives. And then when he passed on, it's because he saved every single paycheck, half of his paycheck, and put it away with compounded interest in the years later on. He was just loaded. So I think it's essential that everyone sees that sometimes living that rock star lifestyle, making millions and spending millions, doesn't necessarily mean in the long run that you're going to remain a millionaire. I call this the rock star business mentality. Sometimes we live where we're going, okay, we got 400 students and we're bringing in all this money. We're going to add on new people. We're going to expand and grow, but never really put away for a rainy day. And I've lived this way, trust me, I was always moving forward, straight ahead, full blast, you know, growing my businesses, buying new buildings, buying fast sports cars, plenty of real estate that I own, thinking that the bottom will never come out. And then at times when it does, you're always hedging your bet for the future, moving in the same direction, not realizing that sometimes things can change. Maybe your mentality will change or maybe your lifestyle will change. Anyway, but you never know, especially in this economy, that how it's proving to be that, you know, people who are smart were safe and they kept money in the bank and they didn't invest it all in the stock market and they didn't have a big overhead. And it's like my mom complains to me sometimes because her overhead is so high and she's gross, total overhead in her lifestyle is about $800 per month. And, to me, mine is about like $12,000 or $15,000 per month. So, and that doesn't even include my businesses and payroll, but just my personal. Anyway, so my advice is always pick your magic number and then live far below it, saving as much money as you possibly can, trying to pay off debt, trying to keep your debt low, debt-to-income ratio low, you know, watching your loans, car loans, high-interest credit cards, et cetera, et cetera. And at this point, you'll live like a millionaire. When I say live like a millionaire, millionaires never really have to question whether they're going to go on that vacation to France or whether they're going to buy sushi tonight or they're going to, you know, buy that new watch or suit. And I want you to be able to live the lifestyle because you can afford it, not because you're hedging your bets or borrowing from the future on credit cards, living on the edge of bankruptcy in case anything happens, if you get sick and you can't work, or if your school, God forbid, burnt down or something like that. So, again, I'm going to reiterate that I do want you to shoot for the stars, and I want you to continually keep reaching for them, but don't keep upping the ante every single time you do it. Work smart and work safe. Number 4 and 5 on my list are similar, but they're kind of in a spiritual kind of context, knowing what's important to you. Now, you have to also know your threshold, which is number 5. So number 4 is knowing what's important to you, and number 5 is knowing your threshold. You know, what you truly want and how hard you're willing to work for it. Because I talk to school owners continuously that are just almost living that, again, I keep using rock star as a metaphor. But, you know, they sit back hoping that people are going to show up at the concert, but they have never advertised the album. It's funny, there was an old movie called Spinal Tap, which was hysterical, and the band had a great idea. They decided to be different and make an album that was totally black, cover, front and back of the album, except they never released it to the public that this was their album. So this album sat on the record shelf and never sold because no one knew who it was and what it was for. So, of course, that was just like a little plug at it. But anyway, I think that you have to make sure that you know what you want and, you know, what's important to you. Is it important to you to spend more time with your family than it is to kill yourself at the dojo, at the school, working day and night? You know, you see, to me, at this point in my life, being 44 years old, I'm really happy. I have a 9, soon-to-be 10-year-old beautiful daughter who's very, pretty much the essence of why I live. And for her and I, we have everything we want. You know, we don't ever have to want for anything. We travel to Bermuda this in 2 weeks we're going. No restrictions at all. We eat out when we want, go where we want. We have our own little movie room in our house. We all have our own, her and I have our little laptops and everything we need, you know. So I've worked hard to get there. And if I didn't get another thing from today forward, I'd be all good. So really, I would love for, you know, of course, there's no doubt I'd love to have a huger house and the next Ferrari and all that stuff. But where I am right now, I'm pretty content and happy and fulfilled. So where do you want to be and what's that magic number? And knowing your threshold, how you're going to get there, how far you'll push, how much you'll work, how much you'll sacrifice to be where you are. Because most of the time, I think that most business owners want the magic pill. They want to sit back and hopefully their great idea, their grandiose idea is going to make them millions. And not all the time does it work that way. And you have to work super hard to get what you want. You have to market consistently, be on the phone, et cetera, et cetera. You know, why do we strive for more things in life and more money? And sometimes that answer is unclear. I remember a quote by David Lee Roth, the lead singer of Van Halen at the time, said it best. He said that he makes money in millions of dollars because it's a tool to achieve and have the fun that he wants. He said, you know, so if you have the money, you have more fun. And it basically gives you the opportunity to enjoy life. And not always does money give you that opportunity. You don't need money is what I'm saying for that. But people talk of financial freedom. The question is, where is your freedom? What is freedom? What is financial freedom? That's another question to ask yourself. Is financial freedom for you being able to spend time with your family and go on those vacations? Or is it to be with your family all the time and run a company from the outside in and watch the company grow because you have the right people in place? Again, the question is, what is that amount of money that you need to be able to have what we consider freedom? Financial freedom. At one point, I had an employee that worked for me and one of my chief instructors, and I was paying him about $78,000 a year, plus a company car and an IRA and a bonus of a trip to Japan every few years. Anyway, long story short, basically what I was doing is paying $78,000 a year to buy my freedom. I was able to stay in my swimming pool, not go in when I didn't want to, have fun and train and teach when I wanted to on my own schedule. So again, the question is, what is your financial freedom number and what is financial freedom to you? These are all kind of spiritual questions, so you have to ask that. And now, of course, this is all what I consider passive financial mentality. You know, just 10 short years ago, I would have said, work, 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 don't do anything else and keep on killing yourself day and night. And the sky is the limit, and you want it all, and don't sacrifice anything for that. But now, looking back, I look at it, and I say that right now, it's all about your goals and what makes you happy and what the magic number is. So before I continue, because I have a few little tips, Kathy, before I close, and I've been really kind of rambling, not rambling, but talking for a while, can we open up if we have any questions so far on things? Any web questions?
I don't see any. Yeah, I don't see any on the web. Do we have any questions on the phone?
Any live questions at all? No? Okay.
Don't think there's any live questions. I'd like to chime in though. You know, I don't feel like you've been rambling whatsoever. I think I know you were kidding.
Yeah.
You know, I think that all the information that I'm hearing, you know, yes, I know some of it, but it's such a good reminder. And one of the things you said back towards your first and second tip, it does seem like a lot of people that are currently right now trying to start businesses, they do want that big, beautiful, huge, gorgeous school right from the get-go without knowing their expenses, without having a target goal of, you know, where do I break even? Where's this money going to materialize from? So I think it's a really great point you made that it's okay to start really small and maximize that location till you're busting out the seams before you try to, you know, bite off more than you could chew. So I'm really appreciative that you brought that up.
Well, thank you. And you know what? It's interesting. And, you know, it's almost like when we were young, well, when I was a young teenager and my mom or dad would say something to me and I thought I knew it all. And then my mom would always kind of laugh under her breath and say, don't worry, you'll see. You know, and she knew she had time on her side because eventually she was going to be proven right. You know, to some extent, experience is the end all be all, right? And I found that over the years, and I've lived, and you know me for a long time, and I've been with Member Solutions for well over a decade, and I found that I've lived every kind of lifestyle within the martial art genre. You know, I've had 10 or 12 schools worldwide. I used to travel to, you know, all those exotic places and teach, and I had thousands of students. And now, as I get older, I'm looking back saying, like, wow, I could have done it differently, but I wouldn't have if I chose, you know, chose another way, because I learned so much from it. But right now, especially in the economy that we're in, and especially with the new models of how martial arts is, it's still interesting at how somebody who could teach just private lessons, I have a consulting client that just teaches private lessons and is making himself a profit of like $95,000 a year. You know, and when we set up that model, it was quite confusing. He thought it was not possible. But when we set it up, I said, well, what does that break down to per week, and what does that break down to per client? And then we just started hitting those little mini goals, and all of us started seeing, wow, this is all I have to do? And then he concentrated and focused on those areas. Like, for instance, another one of my elite clients will say to me, you know, I'd like to up the ante, and I want to grow my income by $1,700 a month. So I need 17 new students. Where should we market? And then I say, whoa, 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 let's just take a step back. So $1,700 a month is good. Let's break it down so it's less stressful. So let's do this. Why don't we take 10 of your people and upgrade them onto Black Belt Club at $50 more a month? So there's $500 right there. So now all you have to do is make $1,200. So then I said, okay, well, how about this? Let's just sign up 5 people, and that's going to bring you in another whatever it is. Let's just say it's $500 because it's $100 a client. Okay, so now we only have another, you know, whatever. What is that, $1,700, $1,000 less? You know, whatever, $700 more. Well, what if we retailed $250 profit for the month only? What if we sold $100 in drinks? Now we're at our number. But really what we're doing is maximizing those things without stressing over the grand idea, big hat, you know, just throw out some marketing, get out there and market, and get new clients. But we were able to achieve the same exact thing without adding another headache on or adding on another person and not spending a penny in advertising, just focusing on the things at hand. In fact, when I teach my seminar in Vegas this upcoming July, my seminar is on – the title of it is called Discovering Gold Under Your Tatami Mats or Under Your Mats, because so often we don't realize that we have so much going for us within our school that we're just totally ignoring, because our focus is like driving a, you know, an airplane and looking way, way out into the sky to see where we're going, not realizing that we're running out of gas and we have no fuel. So this is my focus. So anyway, I appreciate you bringing that up, but this is definitely an important thing for school owners to realize. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so anything else, and then I'll just kind of, I have a few more tips and some ideas and so on. Should I just continue?
Yeah, give us some more.
Okay. So again, I was talking about David Lee Roth, who was really one of my favorite singers at the time, right? And he talked about, you know, again, you know, what is money for? Like, what's it all about? You know, and I'm going to bring up a funny story. Once I had one of my black belts, and he was going to visit his grandfather, and you know, he said his grandfather was like 90 something years old, and I said to him, you know, Joe, when you go visit your grandfather, ask him all the questions. You know, find out, like, what he ate, and did he meditate, or did he sleep a lot, and what was his secrets to healthy, successful life, you know? And when his grandson asked him, my student Joe, he said, you know, Grandpa, blah, 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 what did you do? And the grandfather just laughed. He said, shut up. And he added in a few curse words, and he said, stop worrying about things. That's the problem. Everything has to have a reason. He says, just enjoy your life and don't stress out over the stuff. And that was basically one of my eye-opening comments, you know, is knowing that it's not all about always being totally focused on and trying to manipulate the future to be where it's supposed to be, but sometimes going with the flow and just enjoying. And that's why in my beginning of it, I talk about what we call a Maburoshi, you know, that vision quest. Like, where do you want to be? Sometimes people are so caught up in the getting there that they don't realize that if they took just another turn, a little bit of a turn to the left, they might be there already if they would just realign their profits and their ideas. For example, sometimes we have a school with 400 students and we profit $20,000 a month, right? And it takes a lot to get there, but sometimes that small school owner could profit $20,000 a month with half the students because he doesn't have the overhead, he doesn't have the payroll, he's not paying the payroll insurance, he's not caught up in all that other stuff. So you can get there, but there are many different routes on your way. Okay, so I'm going to move on now. Of course, passive financial mentality is what I call it. You know, just 10 short years ago, I would have been totally opposite for what I am, but life is filled with little pleasures, you know. So once you determine how to live your life, the lifestyle that you want without killing yourself, you could supply yourself with all the dreams you ever wanted. So if you truly work at your goals, you know, the small little missions, the small little goals that you have, whether it be your net profit, and, you know, there are different ways to reach those goals. For example, I was just listening to something, I believe one of the presidential aides, or maybe it was even the president who said it himself, where, you know, car companies are now, the people who work in car companies are making $70, $80, $90 an hour to screw in bolts on cars. If we didn't have those extremely high costs, our cars would not be costing us that much money. Also, there was a thing that said that within every American car purchase, believe it or not, is bundled in a $2,000 plus insurance charge that just basically covers the insurance, health insurance of the employees. So they were saying, you know, that if we alone had health care that covered every employee, we would save millions upon millions of dollars just on those car sales, because it would lower the insurance dramatically. Now, don't quote me on the numbers, because I'm just going off of memory, but the philosophy kind of sparked a thought in my head, going like, wow, you know, it's the fixed cost, all the costs that are hidden into our overhead, you know, that we have, that sometimes we don't realize, that are just eating away at our profits continuously. And at one point, I had that employee that was making $78,000 a year. When he finally quit, and after 13 years, and then actually stuck me and now open up his own school and try to steal away students, you know, the whole loyalty thing that we always go through as instructors. But I realized that when he quit, what am I going to do? And I replaced him with two part-time employees, and those part-time employees were making about $10,000 or $12,000 a year. They were doing the same exact job as he was doing, making $78,000 a year, and I was doing it for like $24,000. So if I would have looked at it from an objective point of view and said, maybe this guy's not worth what he should be, you know, what he's getting, and maybe I could, you know, do it differently, because I was caught in that paradigm where I was never going to be able to just say, you know, because I'm in there, I can't see from inside what was really going on. And I was so used to it. I was buying my freedom. I didn't want it to change. So anyway, now I want to be clear that, you know, you should always shoot for the stars. You should shoot for your goals that you want, goals that are unimaginable. You want to own your own island, you can own it. Trust me on this. Also, it's essential to realize that all empires were built with first the brick and the foundation, on a strong foundation. So it wasn't they were built by these huge, you know, ideas, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, these people were billionaires. Everything started small and had to be grown from that seed, you know. And here are some things. So number one, I recommend, if you can write this down, I recommend that know your expenses. Fine-tune your expenses, but at a minimum, know exactly what it costs you each and every week, month after month, quarter after quarter, so that you're not going to have any surprises. And also, monthly or every 2 months at minimum, try to look and evaluate your expenses. And whenever possible, try to cut them if at all possible. I'm not saying cut out things that are necessary or shortchange yourself and be so frugal that you're doing it all yourself. I'm just saying that so many times without looking at the stuff, you just go on a daily basis and pay. But when you do look at it and micromanage it, that money that you save will become profit in your pocket. That's all I have to say. So if you think about it like that, then I'm sure it's going to be more appealing to you. So number two, know your goals. You know, make them realistic and set a plan into action and achieve it. You know, work hard until it's done. Remember, you have to have a roadmap. You have to have a map to follow. It's like that old story of the guy's flying on a plane. If he doesn't recorrect every few minutes by double-checking his map, he's going to end up, you know, trying to go to, you know, Japan and ending up in China or Korea. So you have to always reevaluate your goals. You know, you need to realign them, know what you want, and make sure that you're always pushing and tweaking to get there. And don't forget, too, that there's so many roads to arrive at the same destination. And I'm going to give you an example. I just talked to an internet genius just recently on a call. Him and I were talking over the phone. And he said to me, he said, you know, imagine that you could get your book, my book that I have that I just published, which is Martial Art Business 101. And he said, why not break it into chapters and sell it by chapter? He said, why not sell a chapter for like $3 or $2.99 or $3.99? He said, you'd probably get much more downloads per chapter on it than you would for people who are going to buy the whole entire book. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And he told me about a guy that he had that did specialized in some sort of computer technology. And he wrote a book, and he sold about 2,000 copies of the book. So my friend had said to him, well, why don't we break it up into chapters and put it on the Internet? And since then, he sold hundreds of thousands of chapters, making probably about 10 to 20 times the amount of money he would have ever made on the book. So my point being is that there are many avenues, many ways, many roads to get to the same place. And remember that, you know, in my opinion, it would be better to work for a higher quality of student with a higher paying income than to have a lower paying student and a lower quality of student. When I say lower quality, meaning that someone's always going to complain and they're always going to nitpick you and nickel and dime you. And don't get me wrong, there are very wealthy people that are so cheap, it's pathetic. You know, so sometimes that's the way they stay wealthy. But, you know, the people who really are wealthy that understand quality have no problem paying for it. And people that are just... even the hard workers, the blue-collar guys, I'd much rather have them in my school sometimes than the real rich and famous, because the rich and famous can have anything they want, but the blue-collar people will pick what they want, and they're going to put their heart and soul into it. But my point being is that you have to get the higher number on your student, you know, student cost ratio. So remember that there's different areas to get there and how to get there, and I would shoot for the higher number. And number three, once you've achieved your goal, you can always up the ante and look for the magic number. If you say this, that, you know, for this year you'd like to just profit $10,000 a month, you know, profit, not net, I mean not gross, but net profit, and then you hit it, of course, or you're getting close to it, you could always up the ante. But remember not to up the costs, because within that book, The Millionaire Next Door, they talk about many, many doctors and lawyers that are making millions but spending equally as much. Yes, they have the fancy car. Yes, they have the house in, you know, Nantucket Island. But they're always caught in that rat race of work, 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 day, 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 day. If not, it's like swimming in the ocean. If you stop swimming, you're eventually going to drown. And, you know, drown. And if you don't keep... you know, paddling or treading water, eventually you're going under, just like in a business where, you know, you're working at your total peak capacity, and if you don't keep working like that, eventually you're going to burn out and the business is going to go under. So be very, very careful. So number three is, once you've achieved your goal, look for that magic number, up the ante a bit, and make sure that it's essential to be comfortable with that number. You know, don't shoot for the stars and not achieve it and get demotivated, but give realistic numbers and keep pushing yourself forward. And remember that, you know, the millionaires, the ones who grow a lot of, you know, financial wealth in their portfolio, are not always, all those millionaires next door in this book were people that were making well under $1 million a year. So the gross number, or even the gross or the net doesn't have to be all that high on the profits of the business. Because if you're not spending that much and you're saving it and you're smart, you're going to end up in the long run being a heck of a lot wealthier than the guy who's making tons and tons of money. And I hope this all makes sense. And if anybody wants and they would like, I could send you those steps via email. Just email me, of course. You could email me at two emails, because I'm trying to work in my new title to the new email. The first email, of course, is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, like Long Island, and then ninja at AOL.com. Or it's Kyoshi, L-I ninja, K-Y-O-S-H-I, L-I ninja at L-I ninja.com. And if you have any questions on anything, do not ever hesitate to email me. And you know what? I'd be more than happy to have you guys set up a one-on-one call, which Member Solutions supplies to you for free of charge, which is an amazing service. And we can talk about anything. I've had people talk to me about student issues. I just had a person call me the other day about someone who was threatening to pull their kid out of the school and talk badly about them. So we talked about some solutions. And actually, we came up with a great solution where both parties were happy, the teacher and the students and the parents, and they ended up becoming the negative person became their biggest fan. And then we just talked about another guy and I about how to get more sign-up ratio, you know, more rather than marketing, getting more marketing. The old model was, you know, you want more sign-ups, market more. But my philosophy is, let's get more sign-ups on the people who come through the door, so your statistics are skewed in the higher direction of closing sales versus keeping the same ratio of sales and just pumping more people through the door. So there's every – and then I had another lady recently just spoke about negotiating a lease on a new building for their school. So anything on one-on-one calls, Kathy and I are always available for you, so please do not hesitate to ask us. And also, don't forget, check out my website at Next Level, takingittothenextlevel.com. And if any members sign up, I usually give out, if it's within a small period of this time period, a free book, which is my martial art book. And I hope to see people at the Super Show. That would be real cool. Set up some appointments to sit with us. I'll have a booth, and I'll be with Member Solutions over there. So anyway, thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you very much for being on the call with me. And everyone who's listening either now or in the future, you know, just do your best to take your life to the next level. Have a great day.